Thoughts on Haggai, the prophet Haggai. Overview. And I'm looking at the book in its entirety, Haggai 1 and 2. Now, some of you will know that I have preached a series of discourses on this book in what you might call full-length sermons. And they're recorded on sermon audio. But I want, in these thoughts on Haggai, to just take brief thoughts each day. They won't be full expositions of the book, but I hope it will convey the doctrine, the teaching of this very important book to us at this time. Now, the overview. Well, of course, Haggai is one of the three prophets, Zechariah, Malachi, and Haggai, who come after the return of the Jews from Babylon in their exile. You remember that the nation of Israel had divided after Solomon, Rehoboam's time, it divided into north and south, Israel and Judah. Both nations went into captivity, Israel into Assyria and Judah into Babylon. Because of their sin, because of their apostasy, because of their unfaithfulness to God, because of their idolatry, because of their adoption of pagan principles and practice, consulting with the pagans, combining with them and so on. God called them again and again, both nations, by the prophets, but they wouldn't hear, and both nations went into captivity. Judah, according to Jeremiah's prophecy, after 70 years, Cyrus, the dictator, arranged for their return to Judah, and they built the temple again. It was not ever of the same glory and majesty of Solomon's temple, but there was a ministry set up, and the kingdom was, the nation was restored, not the kingship, and so on. It was a second best affair, and the three prophets were prophesying at this time. The historical books Ezra and Nehemiah deal with this. Now, this book is about this time of return, and it's clear from the book, as we shall see, that Judah had grown dispirited, that they had begun to become carnal again. Amazingly, after their 70 years away in Babylon, they dropped back into carnality. They were looking at their own interests, their own houses, and spending their time and their money on that. And the temple was not yet built. And Haggai is used by God, and he's successfully used by God, to call them back and to the work. And the temple was raised. And in the midst of this prophecy, warning the people, encouraging the people, reproving the people, rebuking the people, but, as I say, encouraging and exhorting and urging them, they listened to the word of God through this man and came back. And in the midst of all this, and towards the end of it, Haggai is able to give a glorious promise, a glorious view of the new covenant. God says, I will shake the earth once more, and I will establish a covenant, overthrow the kingdoms. God would establish his own kingdom, which would never end. It would be unshakable. I will shake the heavens and the earth. I will overturn royal thrones and shatter the power of foreign kings, and I will overthrow their chariots. And that day, of course, God would make a new kingdom, a prophecy of Christ, and to be fulfilled completely, not completely in the gospel now, but fulfilled completely at the return of Christ, the resurrection, and the entrance into the glorious kingdom of the new heavens and the new earth. Well, these two chapters, 2,500 years ago, they speak today, and I hope through these brief discourses on the prophet Haggai, thoughts on Haggai, to be able to say something each day that will indeed lead us in our own time to look to this everlasting Christ, this glorious kingdom that he will establish, and to do what we can now in the advance of his cause. Not in the days of the old covenant as Haggai, but in the days of the new. May it be so. Amen.